Hi, amigos. It's Brenda here. Today, we have another fun episode from our vault called Discovering Your Energy Chupacabras. I love this, what I'm going to call a Tamarindo Classic episode, where mindset coach Ana Sheila walks us through the good, the bad, and the ugly about stress. All about stress. You're going to love this one. Speaking of stress, I want to invite you to a fantastic retreat where you can release some of that stress to Puebla, Mexico, which is where I am from, where I was born. This is happening February 15th through the 19th, 2024. And I'm so delighted to co-host this event with Delcy Sandoval, who is the creator of the Ocupación podcast. Delcy has been a guest on this podcast. You can go back and listen to our episode with Delcy. You can go check out Ocupación podcast. Together, we are hosting this retreat. It is called Encuentro, a creative retreat for podcasters and or cultural creators, which means you do not have to have a podcast to join this. If you have a creative endeavor or you want to have a creative endeavor, this retreat is for you. Right now, we are accepting applications of interest for folks that would like to be a part of this transformative creative retreat. And you can find all the details at tamarindopodcast.com/encuentro. And a little bit more about this episode. This was first recorded in 2019, so we could talk a little bit about really outdated politics, but you know what? A lot of that stuff hasn't changed. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and we will be back with fresh new episodes next month. Thank y'all. Welcome to
Tamarindo Podcast,
hosted by me, Brenda Gonzalez, a political nerd and nonprofit capacity builder,
and me, Ana Sheila Victorino, a queer well-being enthusiast and mindset coach. We are a Latinx empowerment podcast discussing politics, culture, and how to keep your calma with well-being practices and self-love.
Welcome to the show.
We missed you.
We missed you. This is the part of the show where we catch up. So, Ana Sheila, ¿qué pasa?
¿Qué pasa conmigo? So, I've been working out a lot the last couple of weeks getting ready for our first Tamarindo Calma event that we just came back from. We worked out, we meditated, we hung out. And I was just trying to make sure that, you know, I could hang with Brenda because she's like a super fitness fanatic.
I am not, but yes, thank you. This is a podcast. Y'all can't see that I'm not.
And it's so funny. Well, as part of this, like working out, I was trying all these different classes and I wanted to share the most egregious expression of capitalism in fitness that I've seen.
Wow.
In a minute. It was just so funny. So basically, it kind of felt like, how can we make the most amount of money using the least amount of space?
Interesting. Tell me more.
I think it's called plate fit. So it was like a plate fit class. So basically, I show up and never done this before. The space is so small that literally the lady that's helping, you know, manage the students said that, asked me to wait outside because there is literally no room inside of the small.
Oh my God.
And it was like hot. And I was like, okay. And so I walk in and then there's these machines. I guess they're called plate fit machines. That literally, they're very small machines that vibrate.
Okay.
And so basically, the machine is vibrating as you're doing these exercises. And supposedly, you can get a better workout in less time. So like a 30-minute workout is equivalent to a 60-minute workout because you are doing it on this vibrating plate. So it just feels like, so you're on this plate. It's kind of weird to get used to it at first. I felt my little, like, my stomach, my little pancita was like vibrating.
Yeah. And so how does this compare to our event, which was free and at a park and you could stretch and do cartwheels versus
right.
this tiny little spot?
Right. But it was just so funny. And then you check the price. And you're like, oh my God, this is, they're literally charging like what you would pay for a 60 minute. It's like over $200 for like, I forget, but it was just some crazy price.
And what part of LA was this in?
I think it was like mid city or
that
something
makes
like
sense.
That. And it was, and then normally after a class, I go up to the trainer and we talk and, you know, cause I'm always, you know, preguntona. I want to know like exactly, you know, how this class works. Like, what are the benefits?
What's the science?
Am I doing it right? Exactly.
What's the science behind this plate?
And I couldn't do that because as soon as the class was over, there were literally people starting a new class. So it was literally 30 minutes back to back. So literally, how much money can we make?
Wow. And
so it was funny. I would maybe try it again, like under ClassPass, but like I would never join this, you know, get an actual membership to this gym. And I wonder if it's even true. Are you actually really getting so much more of a benefit? I don't know.
I don't know.
It was a very interesting, vibrating experience.
You're not going to pay the money to find out whether it continues to work. Well, that's cool. Well, I'll tell you what's been occupying my mind, and I'll be real brief because we got a lot to pack into this episode. But many of you that probably listened and watched the Democratic debates, and I got to say, couple things that stood out for me. One is that there's a lot of like castigando Castro going on. Mm-hmm. And I actually want to play a little tiny bit of what a lot of people are talking about. So I'm going to play that right now.
But the difference between what I support and what you support, Vice President Biden, is that you require them to opt in. And I would not require them to opt in. They would automatically be enrolled. They wouldn't have to buy in. That's a big difference because Barack Obama's vision was not to leave 10 million people uncovered. He wanted every single person in this country covered. My plan would do that. Your plan would not.
They do not have to buy in. They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
Your grandmother would not have to buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago? I mean, I can't believe that you said 2 minutes ago that they had to buy in, and now you're saying they don't have to buy in. You're forgetting that.
I said anyone your grandmother who has no money.
We need a healthcare system
that automatically
enrolls people regardless of whether they choose to opt in or not. If you lose your job, for instance, his healthcare plan would not automatically enroll you. You would have to opt in. My healthcare plan would. That's a big difference. I'm fulfilling the legacy of Barack Obama, and you're not.
I'll be surprised to him.
Andrew Yang.
So that moment of the debate, if you follow our Twitter, and because Twitter, if you know, this is where most of our political followers are, there's a lot of our like-minded followers that have found that the media has been castigando Castro, as I like to say,
that
they've been a little hyper-critical of the way Castro handled that precise moment. Now, look, it was a little harsh. It was a little way harsh, Ty, as to quote Clueless. But I also feel that there is a double standard in that Castro, a Latino man, during a time when our community has been literally massacred, can show a little bit of passion, and is somehow the entire mainstream media has just like pounced on him, everyone. So it's just a concerning moment, something to reflect on. I won't go into much deeper there, but I want to hear what all you all are thinking about that moment. You can always contact us at tamarindopodcast@gmail.com. That's not our email. That's our old one. It's contact@tamarindopodcast.com. We'd love to hear you and engage you. But Ana Sheila, you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, I was just going to say, and it's especially because previous attacks on Biden were actually celebrated by candidates at previous
debates.
Yeah,
pass the torch.
So it was just interesting that, like, we were celebrating how other candidates, you know, went after Biden and how that was a great moment for them. But this time it wasn't. It was like it made Castro, quote unquote, one of the losers of the debate. So that was very interesting.
Very interesting. The double standards on the men of color.
Right. Especially when I feel like Castro is I've generally thought of him as like a very like nice guy. And I feel like in a little bit boring in the past is how I thought of it. And I feel like he's really stepped up. And I actually like that. He did that in this debate, and it's really showing more passion. But that's me.
It's very interesting stuff. Well, there's only 12 other debates coming up, so we can always talk about it. So that's enough of catching up. What we've got coming up for you all right now is a great conversation about stress. Yes, and how and we're gonna Anastasia is gonna walk us through what is stress and a little bit more about that. And one thing that I do want to let all our listeners know, and also to quote the debates. And let me be clear that we love at Tamarindo that we've been incorporating these reflections on calma and some strategies that, as you'll hear later, to kind of relieve stress. But we want to also recognize that a lot of the triggers for people are economic stressors, and that structural change needs to happen. And I know personally there's a candidate that can make that structural change happen. And we got to know that while there might be some ways that we can relieve stress, and while we want to be mindful of our health and wellness, that there are certain things about our capitalist system, our society, that is not really making us all be all that healthy. But, you know, we're not going to solve that today or on this episode or in 10 episodes. But for now, there's little things that we can do, pasitos, as Ana Sheira likes to say. There's little things that we can do to make us healthier. And the healthier we are, the better activists we could be, the better we could be to make those structural changes.
Yes. Yes.
So that's what it's all about. So before we get into all that, let's take a break. So, Ana Sheira, what exactly is stress?
So, stress is our body's reaction to something that is happening in our life that needs some kind of response or adjustment.
Okay.
So, a lot of times when we're stressed, our mind is often thinking about that future moment when we'll be fulfilled or free in some way. So, like, examples are you've finished your work by a deadline, or you've taken your test, or you've recorded your podcast episode by the time that you want to
record your podcast. We're living episode. That stress right now, y'all.
Yeah. And so I like how one of my favorite authors, Eckhart Tolle, describes it. So he says, stress arrives in the gap between what is and what your mind thinks should be. So we can't wait to not be stressed, which a lot of times in turn makes us more stressed. So
fascinating.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense.
So one of the first things that we can do to change how stress affects us is to change how we think about it. So and one way you can start doing is actually practicing more acceptance and less resistance. And that doesn't mean that like our stressful situation is going to go away, but we can't actually change exactly where we are, right? When we feel stressed, we're in it. And so the more that we think about how much we hate the situation, the less we're actually focusing on what we need to do to try and get past that stress. And so we're actually instead sometimes prolonging the stress by procrastinating or thinking too much about the future.
I love that you mentioned that, and actually I've been thinking a lot about Eckhart Tolle lately myself, and the power of now, and that's the only book I've read.
I love that book.
But because as I've mentioned on this podcast before, the news can be a big stressor, but I've just started to be more conscious of, like, I can only control this very moment, and remembering, reflecting, hearing that from that book, and just focusing on what I can. Actually, I can't control anything, but just this moment. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. And we talked about economic stress. And so we can't change those things. But what can we do to just try not to be focusing so much on what might happen if we don't fix that situation? And instead focusing, what are the things that we can do right now?
Yeah.
Right. And then the second thing that I think is a big realization for a lot of people is that stress isn't all bad. Stress can be good.
That's an aha moment. What? Stress can be good?
Right. Our body is literally designed to experience stress and react to it. Stress is actually what pushes us to get stuff done. It's what motivates us. It helps us grow and get stronger. It also helps us stay alert and avoid danger.
Okay. So how do we harness that good stress?
Right. Well, actually, I like using the example of working out just to expand on this a little bit.
Yeah, tell me more.
So when you're working out, you're literally creating stress for your muscles, right? Beyond what they're used to, so they can handle more. But stronger.
I'm flexing by them.
Muscles.
I'm flexing.
Dude,
by them.
I mean, Brenda has like muscle goals for real. But stronger muscles only happen when we allow our body to rest after the stress. So that's the big key, is that stress can be good, but stress itself is not the problem. The problem is the amount of stress that we're feeling and our ability to handle stress. And that's why it's so important to be talking about stress right now, because we're in a state where we're experiencing much higher levels of stress than we ever have before. So a lot of us are in a state of chronic stress. And what chronic stress means is that we're actually never experiencing relief. We're actually never resting between stresses. So we'll be stressed about one thing, and then from that, we'll jump right into another stressor and never actually taking the moment to relax and relieve in order to actually stay healthy. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm nodding a lot because it's a lot of what I experience. And I think producer Jeff can attest to that, that stress after stress after stress. Yes. So that's what stress is?
That's what stress is. So what's happening when you're stressed? Basically, our body goes into a stress response mode to deal with the stress or perceived emergency. And in the past, this is what would kick in when we were, you know, our lives were threatened and we were facing saber-toothed tigers. So it was really helpful, but now we're feeling this kind of stress for just daily life occurrences. So basically, our hormones rub up our heartbeat and send blood rushing to the areas that need it most in this quote-unquote emergency, such as our muscles, heart, and other important organs, but they're not sending it to other parts of our body that just allow us to be, that help us be healthy. So when the perceived fear or stress is gone, normally our hypothalamus, which is a small region in our brain, would tell our systems to go back to normal. But if the central nervous system fails to return to normal, or the stressor doesn't go away, the response continues. And that's what's happening today, is that this response continues, especially with our jobs and our whole lives in our uber-connected environment, that is not very helpful. Do you feel that, Brenda?
Definitely. I can feel an actual change in my physical body when I feel like I'm overwhelmed or I've got too much going on or the news is overwhelming me. I can literally feel like physically it manifesting physically, the stress manifesting physically. So yeah, this definitely resonates with me.
Exactly. And so this chronic stress can have very serious effects on our physical and emotional health. It's actually linked to the 6 leading causes of death.
Oof, perfect for Dia de los Muertos. Well, so, no, we don't want any of that for all y'all. This is what this is about, to avoid that.
Exactly. But so how do you know that you're under a state of chronic stress? So some of the feelings that you might have are increased irritability, anxiety, actually depression, having headaches, back or shoulder pain, trouble sleeping, feeling like you're constantly getting sick, getting cold, and taking longer to heal from them, libido problems, high blood pressure. So a lot of these things, a lot of times, can be attributed to too much stress. So if you're feeling these symptoms a lot, it could be that you're under state of chronic stress and not creating enough moments of relaxation between stressors.
And that's the bad stuff, the chronic stress. Yikes. Well, before we get into the next part of this conversation, we got to take a little break.
All right, chicos and chicas, to recap, stress is inevitable and can't be good, but it's chronic stress that is literally killing us. So our goal has to be to create more periods of relaxation in between our stressors so that we can be healthier and ultimately happier. And so to start doing that, we have to practice more intentional awareness of our present, or what people also call mindfulness.
Yes, yes, yes. This means taking note of what is going on in our day and what our stressors are and how they are affecting us. And these stressors, we have to figure out which one is affecting us the most. And I like to call these the energy chupacabras.
Yes. And Brenda, you did a little bit of this, right?
Yeah. I experienced the Baskin being 10 days de-stress detox, which some of the notes that you're hearing today come from that company. Tell us about Baskin being, what this is about.
Yeah. So Baskin being is a stress management company that I co-founded. And part of what we did is help people find their energy chupacabras.
I love that. By the way, we invented that modification to the stressors.
Yeah, it's normally called energy vampires, but you know, we're adding a little
Latinx,
a little spin on it. But was that really helpful for you? Did you learn or realize things that you hadn't realized before you did that exercise?
Yeah, it was helpful to actually write down and identify the different stressors and start to be able to categorize them as triggers by being able to identify which ones were affecting me more and then avoiding those triggers. That was the whole point of that exercise. And I found that very helpful.
Right. So then here's how it works. So you create a list of activities that you do throughout the day. So examples of activities are as simple as making breakfast, working out, commuting to work, talking on the phone to your family, responding to emails, or going on social media, for example. So then for each of these activities, you want to know, you can make columns for these. You want to know, how does this activity make you feel? So these are emotions like anger, frustration, fear, sadness, anxiety, or, peacefulness, gratitude, relaxation, actually feeling bored or connected. So more of the relaxation feelings, right? And then the next column, you want to know, how does your body feel? So are you feeling shoulder tension? Do you have back pain? Is your jaw clenched while you're doing an activity? Do you have shortness of breath? Or are your shoulders feeling light? Do you have longer breaths? Is your gaze soft? Are you smiling or laughing? So that's kind of how you can sense whether you are under more stress or you're in a more relaxed state of being when you're doing the activity.
Can I give an example?
Yes.
So for example, one thing that I found was happening is that I would have my email on my phone, my work email on my phone. Mm-hmm. I get up real early and I would already start checking my work emails, and I would experience the clenched jaw. Yeah. I would experience running around rushing because I ended up responding to emails versus getting ready and just getting out the door, and already starting my work day with my shoulders tensed. Mm-hmm. And my stress alert on guard, right? So one quick fix after I was able to identify that that was a trigger for me was to turn off my email so I wouldn't get emails, work emails in the morning until I got to the office. Mm-hmm. And it's, of course, it's a practice. So I find myself sometimes reverting back to the old ways. But even as I'm sharing with you all this example, it's a good reminder to remember those things that are causing that stress and make the adjustments necessary.
Right, exactly. So very quickly, you can tell from doing this activity which ones are creating stress responses and which ones are creating more relaxation responses. So then the next step is to hone in, as Brenda talked about, on your energy chupacabra. So which ones are creating you the most stress and which ones are draining you of your energy? So you can do this by going through your list one by one, and a simple way to do it is to note how much energy you had when you were doing the activity. And to keep it simple, you can say, did I have a little bit of energy, medium energy, or a lot of energy? And then next, note how stressed you felt during each activity. Did you feel a little stress, medium stress, or a lot of stress? And again, the biggest energy chupacabras will be the ones where you had the least amount of energy and the most amount of stress. And so those can be the ones that you can really hone in on and try to see if you, one, can completely get rid of this activity. And so for a lot of us, it will probably be no, right? There's a lot of activities that we do have to do, but sometimes there are some things that are causing us a lot of stress that we can get rid of. But if we can't get rid of it, we can work on figuring out what kind of adjustments we can make. And Brenda had a great example of an adjustment that she made too.
Yes, yes. So recently, one of the ways that I can identify my energy chupacabra, sometimes you might have one of these that could do it for you. They're called husbands. So my husband helped me identify an energy chupacabra, which is drinking coffee. Mm-hmm. Drinking coffee makes me like anxious. It gives me,
which is interesting, right?
Yeah, it was like, and it was making the other baby energy chupacabras worse. Mm-hmm. So it's been a week and I've switched to tea and I'm practicing that, and it's been working out pretty good for me, but it's a practice. That's so amazing. That's an example.
I love it. Yeah. So you can hone in on which ones are your energy chupacabras and what adjustments you can make. But the other thing that identifying these can help you do is this may be the time for you to try out a stress relief technique to help you relieve that stress so that you create that relaxation period between that stress that you have at that moment and an upcoming stress. So we want to talk a little bit about stress relief techniques. We won't have time to get too into them. And one of the things that we've been doing on the show in previous episodes is we've been introducing different stress relief techniques. And it is something that we want to continue doing. We want to continue offering different techniques and tools that can help our listeners stay healthier. Some examples of relief techniques include meditation, mindfulness activities where you're really trying to focus on staying in the present, practicing gratitude, journaling, affirmations, different breath techniques, cardio, both slow and fast, and yoga postures. So we don't have time to go into these in detail, but what we've been doing on Tamarindo for the last several episodes are introducing different techniques during our calma moment to help us be healthier so that we can do the important work that many of us are out there doing. So we will continue doing that and introducing you to different techniques and tools that hopefully you'll find helpful.
Ooh, I learned so much about de-stressing and stressing and all that. We're going to get more into it later. But this is the part of our show where we do our matraca and our basura. So, Ana Sheila, what gets your matraca?
My matraca today is going out to Elena Deladon, and I might be pronouncing her last name
now.
Yeah. Woo! So she's the first player in the WNBA to join the 50, 40, 90 club. And there's only seven men in the NBA who are part of this club. So first, actually, I'm just curious, Brenda, what you think the 50, 40, 90 club is.
I'm glad
is.
You asked me because I was about to ask you. What is that? I don't know. I have no idea.
What's your guess? What's 50, your guess?
50, 40, 90? Oh my gosh. 50% of the time they make the ball in the hoop. And 40 is their age. and 90 is... I have no idea. I have no idea.
Close. What does it mean? You got one right. So 50% of field goals made
this
season.
Wait.
Field goals is just like any
wait a minute. There's field goals in basketball?
Well, that's what they call it. It's like your shot.
Oh, my God. I'm learning something. I'm new thing now. I'm learning something now. Okay.
40% of your three-pointers. Do you know what a three-pointer
is? Yes, I know that one. That's the far-away one. Yes.
It's the far-away one. Yep.
I know that one.
And then 90% from the free throw line.
Okay, well, you hope that that's a good one, that they get most of those.
Right, exactly.
Okay,
but 90%, it's really impressive. So just wanted to give a matraca to her. It's just amazing to see the level of WNBA play. It's at such a high level right now, and it continues to get better. But what I want to give my basura to is the fact that despite this, their pay continues to be dismal. And what's frustrating is that it appears that the NBA and other owners, it's like they're not really, like, they don't really care about the success of these teams. And actually, the Hoops Talk podcast mentioned...
This is a favorite podcast.
One of our favorite podcasts. Yes, shout out to them. They went to a game and they were talking about how there weren't enough people staffed at the Staples Center for the game. So they spent literally a quarter in line to get at the concession stand because the Staples Center just didn't do a good job staffing the...
These ladies deserve more.
Right, and they had no apparel. Like, people are ready to spend money, and they're not helping that, you know. And so, for example, I want to go to the next playoff game, and I was literally trying to find out when is the next playoff game, and I spent several minutes trying to figure this out. And it's like, I'm trying to buy a ticket. Like, why is it so hard for me?
I want
to
give you my money.
I want to give you my money, and you're literally making it hard for the WNBA to make money and succeed. So I would like to see some changes in that area. So that is my matraca and my basura.
Okay.
How about you, Brenda?
So first, I'm going to very quick and short matraca, always. Y'all, I think I have my favorite candidate, and it's Elizabeth Warren. And
really?
She's my fave. There's some other like notables that might be excellent VPs, but for the top ticket, we've got Elizabeth Warren on the top of my list, and she always gets a matraca forever. But very quickly, just to keep it very short, this is how she's described in Politico. Elizabeth Warren, she was an academic who helped write the book on how to rein in Wall Street, only to be blocked from her dream job, running the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, of which she is the architect of, by Republicans. Republicans and bankers were scared shitless about her, and they made sure that she wasn't the person that was running it. So that's who Elizabeth Warren is. And as a senator, her populist economic messages have animated the Democratic base. Don't you forget it. I want you all to hear it. And matraca to Elizabeth Warren.
Let her be clear.
Yes, let me be clear. She's my fave. And my basura. Restaurants in Los Angeles, in California, that have the audacity to give me Tabasco when I ask for tapatio.
Like, how do you even confuse those? Like, they
basura,
taste so different.
Basura. Basura.com. And with that, that was our episode. We hope you like it. Write us a review.
Learn some things. Y cálmate, te calmo, güey.
Great. Perfect. I love it.
Guess what, Brenda?
What, Ana Sheila?
We can now officially say we are Tamarindo Podcast as seen on Oprah Magazine.
Oh my God, Oprah Magazine. I bet she's listening right now. And that is all thanks to a listener who suggested us when Oprah Magazine was putting together a list of Latinx podcasts.
And this is why we really appreciate when our fans take a few minutes to write us a review or suggest us for podcast recommendations.
Yeah, here's an example of an awesome review of Tamarindo Podcast we received from our listener, Lizzie, where she says, I'm always learning something new. It's exciting to have Latinx women representation when discussing current affairs and culture in today's climate. And they have a fun and positive attitude that keeps me coming back for more.
Yes. Thank you so much, Lizzie. So please rate and review Tamarindo Podcast on Apple Podcasts today. It means so much to us.
Yay.
Tamarindo Podcast is Brenda Gonzalez and Ana Sheila Victorino, with production support from Josie Melendez and Augusto Martinez Delgado of Sonoro Media. Our theme song is by Jeff Ricards. If you like our show, please rate and review Tamarindo Podcast or share an episode with a friend.
Sweet. cuando mi arrendador dijo que el alquiler podría ser más barato si fuéramos amigos con beneficios. Había oído hablar de acoso sexual en el lugar de trabajo, pero en mi casa, eso es discriminación en la vivienda basada en el sexo.
La gente de Bienes Raíces dijo que estaríamos más cómodos viviendo en un vecindario diferente con gente como nosotros. Por suerte, conocíamos nuestros derechos. Es ilegal asustar a los posibles propietarios para que se alejen de ciertos vecindarios en función de raza o nacionalidad.
Si usted cree que sufrió discriminación o tiene preguntas sobre sus derechos, comuníquese con Fair Housing Foundation, Fundación de Vivienda Justa, al 800-446-3247 o también en línea en fhfca.org. La vivienda justa es su derecho. Este es un anuncio de servicio público de Fair Housing Foundation y respaldado por el Departamento de Vivienda y Desarrollo Urbano HUD bajo la subvención de FIPPI, FPEI, 220099.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.